Eagles Beakley.
It's time for another edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. I'm Chris McPherson alongside Bo Wolf, Fran Duffy, and our special guest, nose tackle Benny Logan. Benny, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me again.
Benny, what is the big difference in preparing for the Cowboys the second time around, especially an opponent which you guys despise so much as everyone else does in Philadelphia, but one that you just saw 2 weeks ago back on Thanksgiving?
I mean, you pretty much know their tendencies, things they're going to do, what they're going to present to you, like different defense formations. So main thing is just really just going out there, executing, cleaning up the mistakes we made the last game, and just really just focus on, 60 minutes or the total focus on techniques, effort, and just finishing the game.
But that Cowboys offensive line is so, so good, the best in the league. And you guys as a defensive line are just okay.
We got Benny's at a third round pick. Said wasn't even drafted.
I don't let, the draft stuff and all that. It look good on paper, but my thing is we just a group of guys just go out there and just love to have fun and just play dominant football. We don't really get into the ties up or the news articles or things like that. We just going to control the thing we could control, and that's controlling the line of scrimmage and playing out solid football.
Okay, you guys might not hear the noise, but do you have friends and family members that tell you like what's going on? Like what?
Yes, of course. Like last time I played the Cowboys, I made a statement that the O line was nothing, spectacular. It was okay or whatnot, and I didn't know until probably like a couple of days later that it was a big story on First Take, and I was like, I mean, you asked me my opinion about how I feel, so I just told him.
It was First Take.
Yeah.
But
I didn't mean anything about it. I mean, that's how I feel or whatnot. But, after the game, we just played out style of football and everything, and a lot of people tweeting at me like I should tweet, Stephen A. and
what's Cowboys it? Fan.
Yeah.
Well, the Skip Bayless. So yeah. He's a Cowboys fan.
I should tweet him, say that maybe I was right and all that, but I was like, you don't have to entertain everything people say.
So. Didn't you let your play do the talking?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Those people's like, maybe I should just shut my mouth and just play ball. But I'm like, I just state facts. I study you guys. That's what I do. So,
But didn't Jerry Jones say something before the game?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know anything about that until like 2 days later. He was like,
you're gonna get
Benny Logan gonna get his kicked off. I'm like, what is
Jerry Jones?
Yes, like what did he have to do anything? But just I don't know.
Could you imagine Jeffrey Lurie talking like smack talk to like Tony Romo?
The thing between now, I don't want to get tied up in that, but I will, owner's not that kind of person. He just, all about the players, take care of the players and take care of this team. He don't get involved with all of the nonsense stuff.
So from when you played Seattle, okay, and obviously you say after the game, look, gave him a hard fight. We want to see them again in the playoffs. That would be great. Do you expect that Dallas is going to have that same kind of mentality toward you guys since they're probably like, look, that wasn't the real Cowboys. We'll show them in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. After the game, Dez Bryant was saying, we'll see you in 2 weeks. So that was all the talk was, we'll see him in 2 weeks. Looking forward to the players 2 weeks. And not just that, it's a divisional game, a rivalry game. So, they definitely want to come out here and just make a statement and give us their best shot. But, what we prepare for, when we expect him, he just can't get tied up in, all the talk and, all the kind of things they're going to try to do to try to get us out of our game. Just got to focus on our game plan and get things accomplished.
What is it like preparing when you're preparing for a team for the second time? That first game, is there anything that you can take from that and say, these are things that I didn't see on film that he tried against me that, you could prepare for the second matchup?
Actually did a couple things in the game that we didn't see or wasn't expecting and stuff like that. So, Coach always say you got to prepare for, things when things go wrong. We never practice against anything like that and just happen in the game. So, just got corrected on the run. This time around, we know we're going to get a different things, but at the same time, we know their tendencies and things like that. So, a couple times we're going to guess wrong, going to make mistakes, but that's why we always go to the sideline. We talk amongst each other and correct their mistakes. So, if it happens again, if we're in there, if the next group is in there, we're already seeing, we already know what to expect, we know how to react to it.
What has been the biggest key to success for the run defense this season? Because all three of you guys up front, even the guys rotating in there, have been outstanding.
We just play as a unit, play together, not just the front three. The outside linebackers do a good job setting the edge. The linebackers do a good job, giving the offensive linemen good looks so they could give different, blocking schemes, things like that. I just can't point it on us. Are we doing this? No, it's a team thing from the secondary to the linebacker, to the outside linebacker. We all work together, and that's what makes the strength of the defense, really just solid in the run game.
I have a weird question. There was a play in the Seahawks game where where Marshawn Lynch, after the play was over, you went over to him and made it, and went to tell him something. Do you remember what that was?
I really don't remember, but I really have to say that all the talk that I heard about Marshawn Lynch is this kind of guy. I mean, he's a real cool guy. And, you know, he's a physical runner. I got a lot of respect for him, but just talking to him, you know, within the play and stuff like that, he really is a cool and humble guy. And a guy, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing again. I mean, but
how much can you talk during the play?
It really wasn't like during the play. It was like when we have TV timeouts or okay. whenever we tackle him and things like that, we'll get up and we'll talk noise to him and stuff like that. But he was a real cool guy, and you just had fun out there.
Does it help the
talking about movies or?
No, we wasn't talking about any movies or anything like that. It was all about hitting him. Yeah.
What was it like though, from a run defense standpoint, going from someone physical like DeMarco Murray 1 week to Marshawn? Now you're going back to DeMarco.
That's what you feed off of. I mean, I like the physical game. I like to play physical, down dirty. I mean, it's so running a physical run offense, running back, things like that is one that we really look forward to, and one we definitely look forward to this week. We had Marshawn Lynch, who's a real physical, you know, downhill runner, fight for every yard. Now we got DeMarco Murray coming in, who's a similar back. So, I mean, one we looking forward to, one that we definitely prepare well for, and we know we definitely will correct the mistakes we made against Marshawn Lynch, where we had a couple guys to the ball, and he was still fighting for yards. We just got to get a lot of heads to the ball and hit him when he has the ball and make him feel it every time we're there.
Is there an offensive lineman who's been the toughest matchup for you this year, or the most fun matchup?
I really get it.
The lineman you don't care about, right?
Yeah.
What jersey number? I guess. Cause I can imagine Bane just like the guy.
I really can't say.
Okay.
Bane didn't give anyone props the last time. Cause I think we asked you that. Who was the toughest guy you went against last year?
The thing is, like, pretty much all the ceilings are pretty much the same. Yeah. He's a speed guy, a quick guy, or a power guy. But, I mean, it really hasn't been one that really just gave me fits or problems or anything like that.
Benny, you guys are undefeated coming off of losses this season. What is it about the mentality, the mindset of you guys in the locker room that allows you guys to bounce back?
We lost Sunday against the Seahawks. But the mindset coming in today, that game is behind us. So, we can make it. Our focus now is cleaning up our mistakes and just getting ready for Dallas. And just the energy we brought to the day practice, even though we lost and things like that, we wasn't dragging around and anything like that. We understood that we got another game to play. We can't just, you know, hang our emotions on. We should have won that game against Seahawks or things like that. We got to put that behind us, get focused on the things we got to accomplish in Dallas, and just go from now. It's a one-week season, so we can't dwell on the past. We're going to look forward to what we have ahead of us.
Benny, we've been told to ask some holiday-themed questions. What's your favorite holiday movie?
I like Home Alone, all the Home Alone series. I definitely love those.
Which one? Number one?
They really don't have a specific one, but I just like the whole series of like the Home Alone.
The third one, the one that didn't have Macaulay Culkin?
All of them.
For Halloween, my wife and I went as Harry and Marv, the Wet Bandits.
The Bandits?
Yeah.
I never
heard the weapon, the two robbers,
the bad guys,
the two bad guys from Home Alone.
Oh yeah, but yeah, they were pretty.
Marv, what are you doing?
Yeah, they're pretty sweet guys.
What was the best? What was the best Christmas gift you ever got?
The best Christmas gift I ever got. I don't know. I'm not really. I think. A train. I really got a train for Christmas one time. I was small and a little train like blew out smoke when it went around the track. So. That was definitely like my all-time favorite Christmas gift.
Who's got the best beard on the team? Last question.
I'm gonna order like this. It's Jason Peters, me, then Kelsey.
Where's Bo rank on that list?
Bo don't have Bo shaved his face. Bo's have was like
this.
No, oh no, Bo. That this Bo, no,
this Bo. Wolf.
Oh my God. yeah, you guys got some work to do. You got to fill in.
Okay. Yeah, I know this doesn't fill in.
If I could help you, I would help you, but. Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right. Well, Benny, we appreciate it, Benny. Thank you.
Benny, we know you got a meeting to go to, so thank you very much for joining us here on the Eagles Insider Podcast.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to the Eagles Insider Podcast. Special thanks once again to Benny Logan for stopping by. Perfect guest to have this week, Eagles Cowboys, and obviously his role in the first matchup. So before we look ahead to Sunday's big showdown, you've got to look back to Sunday. Disappointing loss. You were looking to see how the Eagles matched up against the defending Super Bowl champions. You had them in your house. The Eagles had won 10 straight at Lincoln Financial Field. I can go on and on with all those stats. And basically, the Cliff Notes version is offense struggled against an outstanding defense. Defense came to play, just not enough done by the offense.
Yeah, and what was so interesting from a defensive perspective was it was such an opposite game from the way they've played this season, where they've been really good at forcing drives to end quickly, three and outs, one or two first downs, or giving up long plays down the field. And this time it was long, sustained drives for the Seahawks offense that the Eagles were forcing them to play longer, and just like the 2013 version of the Eagles defense. But they weren't giving up a lot of points. They did a really good job. It's hard for the secondary to have to cover for that long when Russell Wilson is running around back there. But I thought the defense played pretty well, and certainly well enough to win. But against that Seahawks team, it wasn't enough.
Yeah, the defense played at a really high level. You look at that front seven. I thought, from front to back, they were really good. But specifically that front seven, especially, Fletcher Cox, Michael Kendricks. I mean, those guys.
I read that those guys played really well.
Yeah, someone
it
wrote that.
It was outstanding feature. It was all 20-tooth piece. Eagle eyes.
I mean, those
guys. I didn't really read many of the words because there were so many pictures. And
there was only 25. But
only 25.
Rad alert. Does that say Nat alert?
What does it say? Brag alert.
Oh, brag alert.
Brag alert.
I don't know.
Well, so.
Nat alert.
Those two guys are stars. I mean, clearly, those guys have really started coming to their own. Fletcher Cox has just been dominant the last month and, month and change. He's been dominant every single game that he's played. Michael Kendricks, now healthy, now that he's kind of got back into the swing of things with D'Amico on the sideline, he's been outstanding the past few weeks. Just used in a wide variety of ways. They used him and Barwin kind of like in a spy type role on Wilson, where, I thought the one thing that he did at such a high level this week, and we really haven't seen them do this often, is, he'll wait for the protection, to set itself, and then he just took off after Wilson. And so many times, forced an early throw, forced him to break the pocket. There was the one where it should have been a sack, and he ended up taking, it was an intentional grounding play. Kendricks just played at such a high level. Fletcher Cox, like I said, was just dominant. The defense, you take some of those third down plays away, and, it might be a different game, but you really can't fault them. They were on the field for, I believe it was 91 plays. To the Eagles 46, I believe it was, offensively. It's just one of those games.
I had really thought that the defense was going to wear down in the second half. That was my concern. It's like, all right, they're having to chase Russell Wilson all over the field. They're on the field for such a long time. I thought Marshawn Lynch was going to pound the rock in the second half. And I give the Eagles credit that they did not allow that to happen. So.
No question.
The run defense is just so good.
Yeah. I mean, that's, it's something that you think about what the defense looked like back in 2011, 2012, and some of the big plays that we allowed in both the pass game and the run game, those run plays do not happen anymore. I mean, those defensive breakdowns on the back end don't happen anymore. This defense is so far and away better than it was 2 years ago. It's unbelievable.
And I have to give Russell Wilson credit. He was much more athletic, much quicker in person than I had seen on TV before.
Did you think so?
I thought so, definitely. I didn't think he was that elusive.
I mean, but that's sort of what you've seen from him. I wouldn't say I was surprised.
I thought obviously he was elusive, yes, yeah. But I thought he was fat. Watching him run, he was faster. I didn't realize he was that tough to contain. I guess that's probably more. I thought he probably, was more in the pocket elusive than outside speed elusive.
Yeah, I mean, the 35-yard touchdown run. He was. I mean, he took off down the corner, and there was all daylight. There was no catching him, but. I mean, that's what he is. This team, we talked about it last week. Greg Costell was throwing stats out all week long about the
who is that?
The outside of structure plays and how
outside of structure.
He averaged 10 yards a play, I think it was. Outside of structure, and it's those were the plays that really hurt the Eagles this week. The plays where he kind of broke down, and he was able to make something happen.
I mean, the Seahawks deserved to win that game. They dominated the game. There's no question. I would not be worried about facing them again. I think. I believe that our defense could play as well or better against their offense, and I believe our offense could only play better.
I would 100% agree. Because even with, even with how the game went for the first 3.5 quarters, you still had an opportunity where we're down 10 points, we get a fumble on Marshawn Lynch, his first of the season, we come back and there was the interception to Riley Cooper, the throw that, down the field, the Sanchez threw the pick.
And Jordan Matthews was open.
Jordan Matthews was open. There was pressure. He was forced to step up and kind of release the ball earlier than he would have liked. So, there's lots of different factors there. And then we had the opportunity for the pick six as well. I mean, when it's all said and done, that game was closer, I think. And that's the thing is I've heard people saying, oh, the game wasn't anywhere near as close. Look, there were plays both sides where, you know, people said, oh, well, you know, John Ryan doesn't drop that punt, that snap. You know, the Eagles don't even score. It's like, all right, well, we also gave them the ball inside our 30-yard line as well on the fumble to open the second half. So, look, I mean, both sides made plays on the defensive side. I think that, you know, going into a game later on in the playoffs, I wouldn't be terrified going into the game.
I felt Seattle dominated the game much more than the score indicated, especially the way that their defense handled the offense. I mean, the Eagles' offense just was not really able to get much traction throughout the course of the day. And as Bo said, the Seahawks were able to move the ball. Yes, the defense stopped them. I just felt that the Eagles' coaches did as good a job as they could have hoped for in terms of keeping the game close so that in the fourth quarter, if an interception happened here, a fumble happened there, they'd be able to capitalize. But it just seemed like, and I guess we really haven't really talked much about the offense. The offense is not able to really get going. Offensive line seemed to struggle. They didn't really try any shots down the field against that vaunted Legion of Boom secondary. And therefore, the run game really wasn't able to get going.
I didn't think the run game was that bad. Obviously, LeSean McCoy cannot fumble there. That changed the entire complexion of the game. And they didn't get any big runs. But I thought they were getting a little bit of push. You know, they were getting 3-4 yards a pop, which was okay. And it avoids getting into those third and long situations against that secondary, which you're just not going to convert. But obviously, it wasn't as good as the last 2 weeks. But I was more concerned about the inability to get anything going in the passing game than the running game.
Yeah, I thought that, going into the game, obviously, I thought that the Eagles would win. I didn't think that they were going to run, you know, for 300, 400 yards. I didn't think it was going to be that kind of game. But I thought that they'd be able to move the ball on the ground a little bit. Maybe I underestimated that Seattle front. And look, Kevin Williams and McDaniel and, you know, Michael Bennett, like all those guys, they played, a great game. But, I thought that they would be able to get some more movement up front than they did. And look, that affected in the pass game as well. Mark Sanchez didn't have a ton of time. There were a lot of plays, obviously, where he was sacked, but where also he was rushed to throw the interception we talked about. A lot of plays where he's forced to get rid of the ball earlier than he would have liked. You know, Chip Kelly talked about it. From top to bottom, the offense just didn't perform the way they would have liked.
I guess maybe the run game got the ball moving a little bit. I guess it just came down to third down conversions.
Yeah.
And the Eagles had 9 first downs for the entire game.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're not able to keep the chains moving consistently, you know, the tempo became a non-factor. And that's what Richard Sherman even alludes to after the game, saying basically, look, you can have all the tempo you want, but if you're not getting yards and getting first downs, it's not going to do you any good.
Can we talk, while we're talking about Richard Sherman,
are we allowed to complain about the refs? Is that what you're going to say?
No, I'm not going to complain about the refs. There were plenty of missed calls
on both sides of the ball. We'll do that. We'll complain about the refs next.
There were plenty of missed calls.
Richard Sherman is just all over, guys. Anyway.
He's one of my favorite players in the NFL. I'm not going to lie about that. But
it's awesome to watch him play. But, yeah. I mean, there were 3 plays where from the press box, you can see the separation of jersey from Jeremy Maclin and him holding it, and there's no call.
All I'm going to say is that he said after the game that this offense misses DeSean Jackson, and I'm going to be honest, I don't know that there's much credence to that, because going into the game, I believe one of the stats that we read going into the week, or maybe it was the week before, Jeremy Maclin leads the league in catches of 50-plus yards. I mean, this is a team that's been able to attack defenses vertically. Now, you know, maybe not as much since Mark Sanchez has stepped in. Obviously, he's hit Jordan Matthews much more on those short crossing routes as opposed to hitting over the top, because we mentioned it last week that they're still running the same plays offensively. It's not like the play calling has changed since the quarterbacks have changed, but look, this is still a vertical offense. Jeremy Maclin is still a player that's going to stretch the field. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I think the offensive line had more to do with the fact that the deep passing game couldn't get going as opposed to, you know, a lack of speed on the outside.
Well, Richard Sherman and DeSean Jackson are boys.
Exactly. No question.
And I think DeSean Jackson did have success against them. So that's probably the reason he would say that. Yeah. So to the refs, I believe the record for, Bill Vinovich?
Yep.
I thought it was 6-1. I thought it was even
5-1. Seattle 6-1.
6-1.
BT.
And the Eagles are 1-5. Brian Thomas, esteemed producer.
All over
very much. So.
Hey, where's he from? Dallas?
I don't know.
It's a great question, but
I mean, there were plays. Look, the first series of the game, Cam Chancellor, it was pretty clear that he got to Brent Celek before the ball did and disrupted that play. There were Byron Maxwell, who was one of their defensive MVPs, the job that he did. But Byron Maxwell, I thought in the third quarter, I believe it was, he interfered with Jordan Matthews. I thought that was pretty clear.
Those are all subjective.
The lineman
downfield
is
was
silly.
Insane.
Right, that's silly.
That was insane. Yeah. And why is that not reviewable? It's not a subjective thing.
I think that I think all these calls that are agreed. Like it's black and white. Exactly right. Like it that should be reviewable.
He was 20 yards downfield.
Yeah, Chip Kelly said he was running a post route. It's exactly right.
And that was a big third down conversion. They would have had to punt it away. Well, they scored a touchdown.
And
on
the other
that
thing
drive.
Too, it's funny. Kerry Williams was on the opposite side. Now they called a screenplay to the right, so it was going to be a screenplay to Marshawn Lynch to the right side, and so that's why Carpenter was downfield because he was going downfield. He thought it was going to be a screenplay. The Eagles defense read it. Russell Wilson decided he wasn't going to throw it. He rolls to his left. There's a tight end blocking Kerry Williams downfield, like engaged blocking him, and Kerry Williams can't get off. So that's why Kerry Williams got up. He immediately starts screaming, and they ended up getting a catch, and it was a first down. It was
huge.
It was silly.
I mean, there was a ref whose only job it is to watch that.
You had one job. That's the thing, right? You had one job. Isn't that one of those jokes online? I don't know. That's what the kids say.
Heads need to roll. That's what I say.
There you go.
That was ridiculous.
I would
mean, it didn't. It might not have changed the outcome of the game.
But still.
But I mean that.
I know it's.
It's like if.
When it's that egregious. When it's that egregious.
It was egregious. Yeah.
That was egregious. Yeah. So.
It's like if you said a field goal was good and it was wide, that's how obvious it was.
Yeah.
Fire him.
That's all I got.
So, at this point, as we're taping the podcast, we don't know who the referees will be for Sunday night's game against the Dallas Cowboys. But big picture, we assume the Eagles win the NFC East. And we'll get into the matchup with Dallas in a minute. Yes. I hope so. And Bo's going to explain how complicated things would be if the Eagles were to lose. But in the big picture, where do you rank the Eagles? They've lost to Arizona. They've lost to San Francisco. They've lost to Seattle. They've lost to Green Bay. I would not be afraid to play pretty much any of those teams in the playoffs, except for Green Bay at Lambeau. Outside of that,
I mean, you never want to go to Seattle either.
I wouldn't want to go to Seattle, but I think they could match up and beat them.
I think right now the Eagles are the third best team in the NFC, and they'll hopefully have an opportunity to prove that they can be better than that. But they lost to the Seahawks and Packers. You can't say that they're better.
It's that quote, you are what your record says you are, and that's what the record is right now. Do I think that they could go and beat Seattle? Yeah, I think they could beat Green Bay. I think they could beat anyone in the NFL if everything is, going the way that it should offensively and defensively. But, I think that's where it is right now.
They have to win on Sunday. They need, because if they lose to Dallas,
becomes harder.
There's a very good chance they will miss the playoffs.
My biggest
they will need help.
Matchup concern going into Sunday night. The reason I was nervous for Thanksgiving, not that I thought the Eagles would lose, but the reason I was, cautious about it was Tony Romo and the weapons in the pass game. I thought, Eagles would be able to handle DeMarco Murray, but maybe did you have to utilize extra resources to keep him corralled? Therefore, that would allow Dez Bryant, Terrence Williams, Colby, all those guys, talented bevy of weapons at Tony Romo's disposal. I thought
there's one guy who's talented.
You still have Witten.
He's old. Witten's, what did he have? One catch for 5 yards last time?
They forgot that he was on the team in Thanksgiving. Yeah. But still,
he was too busy yelling. He was too tired from yelling on the sidelines.
So, but bottom line is Tony Romo and the Cowboys' weapons offensively going against the Eagles' secondary.
I would agree. I'm more worried about Dez Bryant in this game than I'm worried about DeMarco Murray. Because that's the level of confidence I have in the Eagles' run defense.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Obviously, he'll come into this game motivated. If that energy works for him or against him, we'll see.
It could lead to him leaving the field early, so people don't see him cry.
Could be. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Look, the Eagles in the past game on Thanksgiving had answers for everything Dallas wanted to do. Obviously, it became easier to defend them once he got into the second half, and the game kind of developed the way it did in terms of Dallas not being able to run the ball. So the Eagles were able to play more too high. They were able to give the corners extra help. So that played into it, but the Eagles had answers for Tony Romo's first and second reads on a number of plays, and that's why they were only able to score 10 points.
So let me ask you this, Fran. You watched the game Thursday between the Cowboys and the Bears.
Yep.
What did you think of Romo's performance having that full week of rest?
I think he was still kind of feeling it, and whether this happened, it could be attrition, it could be over the, look, we're in week 15 now. But it could have been from the Eagles. It could have been from the Giants. It could, I'm not sure. Not knowing Tony Romo, I don't know. But, I don't think that the ball has been coming out the last couple of weeks the way that it was maybe earlier in the year. And he started off a little bit slow too. So, Look, the guy's banged up. I mean, between the back, he was talking about the ribs and, you know, whether or not they're broken. You know, that's kind of a controversy in itself. But look, the Chicago defense they were going up against is nothing to write home about. So they were able to kind of have their way with that defense in the run game and the pass game. The Cowboys offensive line had done a nice job of keeping him upright. And, you know, you saw the week before we played them against New York. I mean, he was spotless. So whether they can do that against the Eagles after doing it against Chicago, after doing it against the Giants, you know, I don't think that's going to happen.
Can you imagine the commotion in Texas next week if Tony Romo lays a stinker on Sunday night and Johnny Football goes out and plays really well for Cleveland on Sunday?
It's going to be interesting.
Devil, that is just devilish right there. So going back to Sunday night now, the crowd's going to be electric. It's going to be awesome atmosphere.
Boogie, woogie, woogie.
We talk about Romo. The cold weather, I think, is going to play a factor in that aspect as well, though. He's got the creaky back. He's got the rib, which may or may not be broken. It might be tough for him.
You
got
to be worried that, like, the Eagles' defensive line is just going to be – they're going to be such good people that they're going to feel bad about hurting Tony Romo in the cold with his old back.
Benny's a nice guy.
He's a great guy.
Absolutely.
Said Fletch, they're great guys.
Could come back to bite them.
You know what Dallas is going to do in the run game, though. I mean, that's not going to be a secret. It'll be interesting to see whether or not they change some things up in the pass game and try and do some new things, considering how the Eagles defended them last week. But
see if they can get Cole Beasley downfield.
Maybe. White Thunder.
So what can
allow me to retort?
What can the Cowboys defense do?
The poor man's Aaron Flugrad.
Oh, Aaron man, Flugrad. Nice name. Nice. That's an East-West Shrine game name.
How about Blue Cooper?
Blue Cooper. Blue Cooper was he was a more physical receiver. he was more of an outside guy.
You actually remember him playing
Flugrad. That's taller. Good. Tony Pollino like that.
There was another guy who was in the same – who was with the
Nick
Eagles
Miller.
That same – Nick Miller. There was another undrafted guy the same class as Aaron Flugrad.
Oh.
He was a tryout guy. That's going to bug me.
I got nothing.
It is.
It's really going to bug
All
me.
All these names started blending together from previous years.
So while he's thinking about that, what can the Cowboys defense do? Because Mark Sanchez and LeSean McCoy got off to just tremendous starts in that Thanksgiving Day game. The Cowboys are down 14-0 in the first quarter. Is there anything that they can do? Because they look so befuddled by the Eagles' tempo that they didn't have an answer for it.
Well, I think that's the thing is that this team, schematically, they're not a tough one to figure out either. It's not they don't do a ton of different things defensively. They're going to come out. They're going to play, you know, Tampa 2. They're going to play man free. They're going to play their coverages. They're going to, you know, do what they do. It's going to be a matter of executing at a higher level and being able to hold up against the run game and, you know, just making sure that they play with proper technique in the pass game. You saw the big catch from Sanchez to Jeremy Maclin, the long one. I think it was 52 yards, 58 yards. That was against Tampa 2, and they hit him right in the soft spot in Tampa 2. The corner can't allow Maclin to get to the outside, and he let him on the outside, and he was able to, you know, get behind him. So it's going to be a matter of just executing at a higher level, playing with better technique, and you got to be able to hold up against the Eagles' run game. If Dallas has any hope defensively, that's what they're going to have to do.
All right, as we're allowing Bo to search through the archives to bring
up
wide receivers of Eagles' pass.
Listen to this undrafted free agent crop.
Oh, man.
All right.
What do you got?
The ghost of Eagles receivers past.
All right. Let's start with long snapper, long blonde hair. Remember?
Oh, man. I got nothing. B, anything? Nothing. No. Shaking his head.
Matt Camilli.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Here we go.
Was he also from UTEP?
Wait, this was 2012.
He was a UTEP.
He was
this
a UTEP
was 2012
guy, yes.
or
2012 undrafted class.
Yeah.
So funny story about this is that so I remember that this was the rookie camp when all these guys were bought into like they tried out and then they were able to come to the rookie camp. Is that how it usually works? Or do these guys try out at the rookie camp?
They try out at the rookie camp.
Okay. So I was given the opportunity. I said, okay, Fran, you can go. Because this was right when I got hired full time. And they said, you can go and do the cheerleader calendar shoot down in the Bahamas, or you can stay for rookie camp. I stayed for rookie camp.
No, you are sad.
Cue sounder.
I so miss the calendar shoots. My wife, the last one I went on was in Mexico in 2007, and my wife was so PO'd when I told
I wanted to see Matt
Camilli
and the rest of these guys that Bo's got here on his phone.
She was so mad.
You probably got to see as much skin as
All right, what do you got? Let's hear the rest of these.
All right, well, I'll tell you this. Three players from this class ended up making the Eagles.
Okay.
One of them is still with the Eagles. Can you name that one?
2012.
So three made the roster and one is still here.
Yes.
Let's see.
I think that you should get this.
We should get it.
It's not a running back. It's not a receiver. It's not a tight end. It is not an offensive lineman. It's not Sid Thornton. Sid Thornton was 2011.
He was 2011, yeah.
I got nothing.
Rookie free agents.
Literally the first thing Fran said was, he's not a running back. And so that's incorrect. Literally the first thing. Come on.
Chris Polk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was 2012.
Unbelievable.
For some reason, I thought he was 13. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Jeez.
The other two who made the roster, one is a fullback tight end hybrid.
Oh, Emile Iguodala.
Correct.
Okay. Yep.
And the other one is a wide receiver, currently on the Houston Texans.
Demarius.
Yes.
All right, what are the other good? Okay. Give us the gems.
Hold on. Okay, so we've got we have a tight end who did not make the Eagles, but is in the NFL.
That would be the kid from
Chase
Miami.
Ford.
Chase Ford.
Correct.
Yep.
All right, we have a fullback who did not make the Eagles, but is in the NFL, I believe, still. He was on the Raiders for a little bit. Maybe he's no longer in the league. He was undrafted.
I got nothing.
Jeremy Stewart.
From Stanford. Yep.
Yes. Okay. All right. Now let's get to the good guys.
Good guys. Here we go.
Cornerback. People thought that this guy was going to be great.
That could be a lot of guys.
He's a chip guy. I mean, Chip wasn't here, but.
So he was an Oregon guy. A corner from Oregon?
I was going to say, which corner do we have from Oregon?
I don't know. Tell us.
Cliff Harris.
That's right.
All right.
All the talent in the world.
Yep.
Well,
like the drive
he didn't have all the talent in the world. He was like 5'7".
He had talent.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The safety who had an imposter.
Oh, man.
I'm telling all these names blend together. You just have to say it. What do you got?
Philip Thomas.
Oh, that's right.
How about the back?
Phil Thomas.
How about the crappy punter? Ryan Tedlaczka.
Oh, man.
All right.
Okay.
And now I think we're down to the receivers now. I really hope Tedlaczka is not listening to this podcast.
I was going to say, it's a shame. Sorry, man.
Poor guy. He had a decorated career. I think Kentucky, maybe?
I forget. Okay.
I think that is correct, sadly. No.
All right. Wide receivers. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's one guy who I don't remember anything about. Darnell Williams.
Nothing.
No.
I got nothing.
I don't remember a single thing
about
Darnell Williams.
Not a thing. Not even his name.
Okay. This guy I thought had a chance because when we signed him, the most exciting thing about any of these guys was the highlight video for Montana wide receiver.
Oh, he had the grab of the year.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Elvis Akpla.
Yes.
Good one.
Unbelievable catch that he made.
Okay, that's good.
And then the two guys, Aaron Flugrad and the one I was thinking of. They're the same. Same body type, short little white guy, slot guy, from BYU. McKay Jacobson.
That's right. That's good. There we go.
That's good work.
A couple days later, we claimed Thomas Welch off waivers from the Rams.
Not related to Colin Welch.
That's good. Thomas Welch had one of the weirdest bodies I ever remember seeing. He had a tiny little head.
He was an O-lineman, right?
Yeah, and
he was
like a weird man long body. Neck. It was really weird. Weird-looking dude.
Yeah,
I'm sad that I didn't get to be a part of that guessing game, but
days of Eagles offseason passed.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
How many would you have gotten?
I feel like I gotta go.
Yeah, next week we'll do it. Next week I'll do it. Next week BT will do it. We'll do 2013. Good deal.
Oh, I'm gonna slay that.
Bo's welcome.
I don't know.
Now.
I don't
give
think
me 2010.
Yeah, we gotta go to 11.
Yeah,
11 or 10.
How, Bo? When you did the Wolfsden Jeopardy on Friday,
how
much were you looking to get it yourself? Were you like, how do you not know the answer? I've got this.
I played along.
How'd you do?
I did pretty well. There were a couple that those guys were like struggling with. I was like screaming at the monitor.
That's good. That's the best part of Jeopardy.
It was good. It was good.
That one was different because I was creating all the clues, so I was happy to be the asker.
Yeah.
I don't think I did a good enough job in the beginning of the video of explaining exactly who Brad Rutter was. I think some people thought it was like a joke. He's actually the best ever.
The greatest Jeopardy player.
How did we know
time?
That he was an Eagles fan? Did he say like on the show?
He tweets about the Eagles.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Nice. I like it. I'm going to go follow him.
There
Please
you go.
Do.
Give like Brad some love.
I like it.
All right. Oh, I think it's going to do it for this edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast.
Oh. As is this going? Is this coming to an end this week or what?
We'll see. You'll have to tune in.
Will Bo shave
Find
the
Find out
beard?
On Sunday on the kickoff show.
Can BT make an executive decision?
For Fran Duffy and Bo, I'm Chris McPherson. Thanks for joining us.